And now will you please join me in a word of prayer? Father God, we have had this season of worship, and it has been wonderful, and we praise you for it, dear God. We thank you, Father, just for all the many blessings you have rained down upon us, because truly, Lord God, they are numerous, they are bountiful, and we are so blessed by your presence, dear God. Father, you've brought us all here together today. I know that many are here today just taking the opportunity to celebrate the fact that they have moms in this world, that you blessed us with motherhood. But Father God, I believe that we are all here, though, because we love your Son and we love one another. And this is our church family. And we thank you, Lord God, for each one here. But Lord, truly, this is your household. You are our patriarch. And we turn to you right now and we ask you, dear God, to please illumine our hearts and minds now to the truth of your word. Shine your spotlight down, dear God, and let these words come to life. And help us, dear Father, in this time to learn to appreciate the things that we have. And Father God, please just help us to reflect on the blessings of our lives a little bit more as we reflect on your word today. We love you, Lord, in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Well, as we have already said, happy Mother's Day to everybody. But I must say it again because it is the title of this morning's sermon, a very blessed Mother's Day to all. I'm going to turn over to those sections of verses in the Bible that as a mom or as a lady, you have either grown to love or maybe something a little less than love, because Proverbs 31 is a passage that talks about the wonderful lady. And sometimes as moms approach this passage, they feel that they are being held up to a very difficult standard at times. But you know what? This is moms, though. Moms, okay? Those ladies that not just gave birth to us, but raised us. Those ladies that showered us with love and affection. In so many ways, it's so difficult to look upon moms and reflect upon anything wrong that they've ever done, because their lives have been lives of devotion and sacrifice that have just rained down upon us, and we have become beholders of so many blessings that are above and beyond ourselves if we have been raised by a loving and caring mom, that surely over a lifetime of a mother's devotion to their children, the children can reflect at least somewhere, somehow, on the truth of this word. Proverbs 31, verses 28 to 29 begins with, "Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised.'" Now, brothers and sisters, as we come to these passages, to these words that God has handed down to us, we have to understand that when we say a very blessed Mother's Day to all, what we are doing is we are extending a blessing. When the scripture says, "I bless thee," when it says, "I bless the Lord," or the Lord blesses us, or we bless another person, we are extending a spiritual presence upon them. We are extending a blessing. Words of love. Words of affirmation. And as we approach these words, you know, I've often shared that with my own wife, Julie, that about 2 weeks after her and I were together, we jumped in her little Geo Metro. Julie and I went to the movies last night, and we noticed on the way out that there was a sign that there's going to be a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie coming out. How about that? Woohoo! And her and I are like, "You think Vanilla Ice is going to be in it?" You know, and then we're like, "Go Ninja, go Ninja, go, go Ninja, go." For those of you who are old like me and remember back in the day. But she used to have this little blue Geo Metro and her... Things you won't see in Lancaster, right? never mind. I don't encourage me. But Julie used to have a little blue Geo Metro, and her friends would go out driving, and then they'd go back to Lompoc, and they'd have to go up that big hill in that little three-cylinder car with three or four people and would have a hard time. And so they stole a line from that movie, and they'd all be in the car rocking back and forth going, "Go Metro, go Metro, go," you know, just get up the hill, get over the hill, you know. And we see these things that, you know, across the time, I mean, oh my goodness, those old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies that came out when I was in like, high school, I think, somewhere around there. And then number two came out when Julie was old enough to have a driver's license and stuff. And now we got another one coming out. I don't know. Have there been sequels in between? I don't even know. I couldn't tell you. I'm too old to remember that stuff. But anyways, we come around and we see all of these things and we see all of these memories compounding. And oh, my goodness. We come to a point where we realize we have the ability to hold on to that which is good. We have the ability to jump back to being 16 year old or 18 years old and having a driver's license and driving friends around and remembering the slogans we used to say. We might remember moms or dads dropping us off in the movies back in grade school or junior high or high school before we had those things. We have this ability to reflect upon all of these good things, but yet sometimes we also have the ability to hold on to the bad. We can have the ability to hold on to the negativity in life to the extent that it damages our life. So many of us have been raised by wonderful ladies. And there can be so many blessings across so many avenues, from the Geo Metro that she obviously didn't buy with her own money, okay, to whatever these other instances in our lives may be where we've had blessings that have caused us to smile and have continued in our lives. But it's so funny that oftentimes those people that have blessed us so richly, our moms and our dads, sometimes it's so easy to hang on to one thing they said or one thing that they did. And we'll chase those moments down and we'll act like that one moment just ruined our lives. Oh, she embarrassed me so much here. Or, oh, he did that and it was in front of my friends. Or, oh, they said that and it tore me down on the inside as a person. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to share a little confession with y'all here, and hopefully you won't hate me for it too much. As I said, I went to the movies last night, and what did I go to see? I went to see the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Why? Because I like superheroes. I think they're cool. But I was really surprised because if you saw the first couple, they were really just funny movies. The third one was much darker. And I actually kind of sitting here kind of not really caring for the fact that I saw it. And, of course, the star of the show, Star-Lord, as he's called in the show, in real life, he's a Christian. And he's pretty well known for speaking out about his beliefs, and he's kind of been supposedly blackballed by a lot of our culture today because of his beliefs. And so last night, so whenever a movie of his comes out, I have a tendency to want to watch it because I want to support the guy that stands up for Jesus that the rest of the world doesn't like. And sadly for me, I got to watch him rather loudly shout out the F word in the movie. And it kind of shocked me because, you know, I don't like hearing stuff like that coming from the saved's mouths. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, so I'm watching the movie and I'm seeing all this happen and I'm being challenged because there is a way that seems right to this world. There's a way that seems right to this world and the world tries to infect everything that we do or say. And it'll come to the point where we'll say, oh, it wasn't so bad. Oh, it wasn't so this. Or, oh, I just did that. Or, oh, it was just once. And we start throwing out those things. But I got to tell you, you got to ask yourself, if you got one of those Proverbs 31 moms, okay, if you've read the chapter before, and you got one of them Proverbs 31 moms, and you were like 5, 6, 7 years old and that word escaped your mouth, what would have probably happened to you? If you got one of them Proverbs 31 moms and you're 31, 41, or 51, what might happen? Might be like, oh! You might have a lot of things happen to you. And I got to share something with you. We who have been bought with the blood of Jesus, our hearts and our minds ought not to be filled with anything that cannot stand up to the scrutiny of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And the standard of his blood. And when we ask ourselves, what would be a good standard for this world to help us to understand what would Jesus do in this situation? Brothers and sisters, I got to ask you, if you got a Proverbs 31, mom, before you say, do, or act a certain way, ask yourself, would you have done this in front of your mom? If your mom is here or was here, and she was one of them Proverbs 31 moms, those moms that live for the Lord, would you have done it in front of her? There comes a point where we got to say to ourselves, our lives, our external conduct, it needs to be able to live up to the scrutiny of a well-seasoned Proverbs 31 mom and the innocence of a little child. We ought to be conducting ourselves in all places and in all times with such a degree of love, holiness, civility, joy, all of these things being formed into a beautiful package of Christ-likeness that, again, will stand up to the innocence of a child or the scrutinous eye of a Proverbs 31 mom. But you know, one of those times when we speak about our mother's gaze being upon us and we talk about like a scrutinous eye, because tell me, if you've ever had a mom, you ever seem like she's watching over your shoulder at times? You ever felt that way? Well, it's because your mom has a relentless love for you. How often are you out of the watchful gaze of Jesus Christ, your Lord? Never. He is the mom and dad when your mom and dad aren't around. But while your mom and dad had you, they had a job to raise you. And they would raise you, and they did their best to raise you well. In Isaiah 49:15, it says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb?" You know, as we think about this, mothers, in so many instances, from the day they first become a mom to the day that their kids are grown and gone, and even beyond, moms are always moms. And moms have this interesting challenge of that the moment a mother has a baby, she is instantly being catapulted back to a moment that she has not been in for a long time. And she has to know and properly interpret the needs of that child. Now, if this wasn't a tough enough job already, what about ladies who give birth to sons? My poor mother had two boys, and I know we put her through the ringers. You think about moms. You know, I think about my wife. You think about your wife. You think about your moms. And although there are some instances of discrepancy, Susie, mostly, you know, that most moms in love... Oftentimes we get this picture of motherhood as being refinement. We think of dignity, you know. I've often seen comics of like when pastors go to new churches and they'll say, "This is the reverend and his wife, Mrs. So-and-so." And there will be some reverend there, and then Snow White will be next to him, you know. Because we have this image of what holiness in a lady looks like. But you know what? I think one of the greatest moments of beauty and holiness that a mom can exhibit is when she takes hold of a son, because generally speaking, a son is nothing like her. Your average lady is not the same as your average boy. Now, as I say that, I hope that doesn't come as a huge shock to y'all, because there is a difference. And I think back like on one Christmas when I was just a little guy, my parents gave my brother and I skateboards for Christmas. They were like, "Oh, we got skateboards." Never rode a skateboard in my life. Then my aunt came over, and she brought our Christmas presents for us. And what did my aunt give us? Elbow pads and knee pads. The other aunt came over. What did she bring? She brought a helmet. Well, just like every little boy, guess what I did? I put on that helmet, and I ran my head straight into the banister. And then I ran into the wall a few times. And I stood there, and I said, "Dad, look, it works. Whack, whack, whack." And I got to say that in all of my days, even though there are many ladies who can exhibit many of those masculine traits and love those like high energy normally associated with testosterone sports, to this day I haven't seen a young lady put on her helmet and then start having contests on who can hit their head into the wall the hardest. Boys will do that every single day of their lives, and you give them half a chance, and even full-grown men will. I'm not saying this is me, but how many men have you ever seen take a soda can? It's who men are. And little boys like myself, they'll spend the day in the creek or drainage ditch at my first house, catch crawdads, frogs, snakes, and all that kind of stuff, and having not had the wherewithal to take a bucket, yeah, put them in your pockets. And then my poor mom, when she would have to, like, get the laundry ready after, she, you know, the clothes got picked up later on, she'd sometimes scream out of the laundry room about what she pulled out of the pocket. And sadly, she said sometimes she only found out after everything went through the dryer. No. Moms deal with a lot. And I am sure that moms of daughters, and I'm sure my wife would testify at times, deal with a lot also. But the thing about boys is that boys will instantly put most moms right out of their comfort zone. You're just dealing with stuff you're just not as familiar with. And my goodness, how it is that so many moms are so capable of doing such an amazing job with something completely different from them. I don't think our society currently understands little boys. You might know that perhaps the most, the drug that is of the highest prescription levels right now is drugs to treat ADD and ADHD. You watch videos of how little kids, little boys especially, might run up to pass out the gifts on Mother's Day. You see them in classrooms acting certain ways, you know. They'll do all kinds of weird things and be like, well, I'm sorry, your son has ADD or your son has ADHD. And I'm not saying there's no such thing as them. I'm just saying it's interesting because, like, I think back to my childhood and they show me a kid and they'll say, that kid's ADD and that kid has ADHD. And you say, no, that kid's name was Chris when I was a kid and that one's name was Tom when I was a kid. And by the way, Chris grew up to own a car dealership. Tom grew up to go into politics and they did just fine. But the problem is that little boys have got things going on inside of them that little girls don't. And I have to say, I think it's one of the challenges of our current society is that little boys are being called to conform to environments that are suited for young ladies. But that being said, it also just continues to capitalize on the idea that probably nowhere else in all of history has there been a relationship where someone is required to take something so completely different from themselves and mold it for the course of 18 to 20 years and help it to become something that can stand on its own two feet and stand up and represent their mother well and call out their name as blessed among all the people, like Proverbs 31 says will happen, and who lives the life that also shouts forth a blessing of the moms that raise them. Moms, when I say God bless you, I'm not just saying that because it's Mother's Day and because we know this is one of the top two or three high holy days of the Christian church. It's because what you are is truly amazing. And what you are is truly appreciated. Lord, bless you all. Please continue with that relentless love. And again, there comes that moment. Motherhood extends beyond the concept of having had a childhood. Extends beyond having had a child. I have known motherly ladies who had no children. There is a qualitative difference between men and women. I believe there's a strong line between men and women. The line's not necessarily meant to be crossed. By necessity, sometimes maybe it is in some families. But brothers and sisters, if you have been made in the image of God as a lady, you have been given one of the most beautiful tasks that has ever been handed down to anyone. To shepherd as a mom all of those created in God's own image. You are to be praised. You are to be blessed because what you are is amazing. Persistent nurture. In Isaiah 66:13, we find out that the Lord speaks of us this idea. You can't just be relentlessly loving. Your love can't just be some kind of an affirmative atmosphere around you. Amen? Sometimes you got to take the reins as a mom. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Because within your relentless love, there also has to be this concept of a child that is being raised. And there has to be a persistent nurturing going on in a child's life. In Isaiah 66:13, it says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted." Did you notice that it didn't say, "just as your dad comforts you"? Moms have about them the aura and the atmosphere of one who comforts. My brother and my mother, who neither of whom I'm sure are listening at home, they have had one of the most interesting of relationships growing up. My brother, in all love, many of you have met him and you'll see him again. Oh, he has had a tendency in his life to not be able to reflect on any of the positive attributes of our parents, and sometimes vice versa, them to him. But I need to share with you something. For as militarily obtuse to my parents' parentage was my brother. Wow, that was the most awkward sentence I've ever said in my life. There was an interesting thing that happened. Once upon a time, not that many years ago, my brother, who anytime we got together as a family, whenever my mom or dad would say anything, even as full-grown men, he'd be like, "Oh, can you believe this? Oh, can you believe this?" You know, it seemed like any time that we stepped aside, out would come the rantings and the ravings. But there was this one moment in time, not that many years ago, when my brother had a very difficult challenge in his life. And he called me. And I was honored that he called me. But I found out in the course of the conversation, who we wanted to talk to was Mom. But the youthful pride and the youthful arrogance, he couldn't pick up the phone to call her. But the moment I said, "Have you told Mom?" he said, "No." And I said, "Do you want me to tell her?" "Yes!" He wanted Mom to know, because the one whom he really wanted to talk to was Mom. So I call my mom and let her know, and then instantly she calls and gets on the phone with him. And all of a sudden, even though their relationship had been so fractured by so many events that had happened over so many years, suddenly there was no more fracture. There was just a son talking to his mom and a mom talking to his son, which was exactly what the son needed. And how this is so much like moms. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted. Moms have at times the ability to extend the very comfort of God upon us. To have that truth spoken in love rain down upon you, that is not being given from some high, lofty, or haughty position, but is just coming by somebody that made you and wishes well for you and has a plan for you, one for hope and help and not for harm. Who is that? Oh, that's God, isn't it? But isn't it amazing how congruent a mother's desire for her child is with the Lord and his desire for that mother's child? Brothers and sisters, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Moms, love those children with that relentless love. Moms, love those children with that persistent nurture, and understand that what you are working for is not just a task for the moment, but it's a task for future excellence. Proverbs 31:25 says, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future." Now I got to say to you, I have to admit, in the vehicle of my life, I have had the doors blown off my car. I just got to be honest about that. I remember the day that my wife was holding our second child, Heather, and holding her in her arms, and I will never forget, she looked at me with these big doe eyes and big puppy dog face and just a light, you know, with the glow of a lady that had just given birth to a beautiful baby, and she said, "I could never be any happier." And that was a moment that I have cherished up in my heart all these years, because my wife has had a strong ability to be nurturing and loving exhibited in her throughout our marriage. And then all of a sudden, one day, she decides to go into nursing school. And I was totally against it. Why, you might ask? Because is there a nursing program somewhere where you can only tend to females? That's why. Do I get to be present in the room anytime there's a man in there? I joke, but there's a little bit of truth in there at the same time. But I relented, and she became a CNA, Certified Nurse's Assistant. And then shortly thereafter, she became an LVN. And then shortly after there, she became an RN. She started working off in the pediatric ward. Then I believe it was telemetry that she went to. And then she ended up in the cath lab. And then she became the assistant manager of the cath lab. Then the manager of the cath lab. And then she went to San Jose and became the director of the cath lab. And then she went to the community hospital of the Marin Peninsula and became the director of the Tyler Heart Institute. And I see this thing in my life where I remember this young 20-something-year-old girl saying, I could never be more happy than I am right now. And now she is a director of 4 different divisions within her department, multiple people. She manages more people at the Tyler Heart Institute now in one department than she did in all of her departments when she was at Marion combined. And here she is. She is emerged out of motherhood, and she is now standing and presenting herself as something so completely different. And it didn't matter about if it was raising the little ones when they were just babies, taking care of them in their teenage years, getting our daughter a tow truck last night when her Jeep broke down, you know, or if it means tomorrow, or if it means one day helping out with grandkids, or what? Of course, that job's just not entirely up to her. There is another daughter as well, but you know, as all these things go forward, and then the scripture says to us, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. The unprepared will often look at the future with distress, because the imagination comes into play of all the things that can go wrong. The mom realizes preparation is key in everything. Everything in due course and time. Raise those kids. Provide for those kids. Understand there's an acceptable age for rushing the podium. And then there's an age where it's no longer acceptable. And every place, in every time, every stage of life, the mom goes in prepared to raise her children so that her children get to emerge mature. And as Proverbs goes on to say, I mean, I got to tell you, if you've never read Proverbs chapter 31, let me share some of you. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the products of her hand, and let her works praise her in the gates. The scripture says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also. Honey, I bless you. You're amazing. If there's anybody else in here that wishes to extend a blessing to their wife, their mother, their grandmother, will you please let it be known by saying amen. Amen. Lastly, under future excellence. Not that long ago, after I became pastor of this church, I lost my dad. And I know that most of you here remember that day. My brother and I have came to a realization not that long ago that on either side of the family, we no longer have a grandma or a grandpa. Not really even any uncles. I've got one aunt. But my brother and I realized that we still have our mom. And if all things follow normal patterns, my brother and I will be here longer than our mother. It's not always the case. Anything can change. But that's the normal case. But my brother and I realized that very soon, unless something peculiar happens, he and I will be the patriarchs of our various families. That there will be no one over us from whence we came anymore, and it will be us. And then following the normal pattern of things, either he or I will probably be next in our families to go and have a meeting in the sweet by and by with the Lord and all of our loved ones who have gone before. My mom is still here, and I'm thankful for that. And she's going to come over today for a barbecue. But even though my brother and I were challenged by the idea of being patriarchs of our various families, we also had to admit to ourselves, but we're ready. And we are ready because of who our mother and our fathers made us to be. Brothers and sisters, as we mentioned earlier, in this room, my goodness, there were a lot of grandkids represented by this room. Praise the Lord. Got a virtual army of them, praise the Lord. Amen. Got to admit, I was a little shocked, a little surprised. Congratulations, Donna, and everybody else who was hanging in there in that list of grandkids. But something that becomes a necessity for every mom, and yes, for every dad, is to somewhere along the line realize that that mantle of godly leadership, once removed from this world, ought not to remain removed from this world. When he or she who was the patriarch or the matriarch of the family goes to be with our true patriarch, our Lord and Savior, those of us who are left have to learn from what we have received and step up to the plate and be those women and men of God that we need to be. Brothers and sisters, as we mentioned earlier, we have a virtual army of grandchildren represented in this room. And I want to encourage you, each and every one of you, you love them. Love them relentlessly. Love them pursuing the great potential that God has sown into each and every one of them. Raise them in such a way that they grow up to fear and to love the Lord their God and to respect the values and virtues of living a kingdom life. Amen. Help lead them in such a way that they're not so easily led astray by the things of this world. Let your wisdom rain down throughout the care, throughout the nurturing. Extend the God-given wisdom that he has put into your life and extend it to those around you so that they have the opportunity to hear words and see a life lived that this world will not show them. Brothers and sisters, you are God's true warriors. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for your participation in the conflict that is in this world. And moms, please, don't you ever underestimate yourself. It's amazing how when young men and young women, no matter how they have acted their entire lives, when they find themselves in the foxholes of this world, how quickly they call out for their mom. Because mom is the source of a godly comfort. Lord bless you. Will you join me in prayer? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord God, it is with grateful hearts. Father God, I thank you so much for the wife that you have provided me, who is the mother of my children. And I know that each man in here would happily arise and call their earthly dearest blessed for who she has been to them and for who she has been to their children. Some ladies, Lord, they become mothers of children that they never birthed. Some children find mothers in unexpected places. But Father God, the gift of motherhood, it goes on. And yes, Lord God, in our heart of hearts now, we thank you for the gift that you have rained down in our lives of the moms in our lives. And we do. In our innermost being, we rise up and we call them blessed. Give them the most amazing day today, Lord. But Father God, for all of these dear Christian women that are in this room today, my hope and my prayer for them is that with their relentless love and with their relentless nurturing that they have exhibited over so many years, I pray, dear God, that you will allow them to see the fruit of all of their labors. May all of our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren, yes, Lord, great-grandchildren, and so on. May they all come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father God, we love you. Thank you so much for this time. In your Son's most beautiful name, amen. Will you please rise?
Just as